Engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Hello, friends. Father Frank Pavone here, National Director of Priests for Life. Welcome to Praying for America. We're going to have some important reflections for you tonight on one of the key institutions of American government. And then later in the program, be sure not to miss it. Stick with us for the whole time because we're going to have very important action items and resources for you to follow up with as a result of what we talk about here on this show. We're always glad to have you with us, Christians and patriots from across the country and friends indeed from around the world. So thank you. We're going to start as we usually do with scripture. We want to invite you to leave your own prayer intentions in the comments so that all of us, as we reflect on America, can pray for one another too and all the different needs that we have. So leave those comments, leave as many prayer intentions as you wish. And let's begin with the Word of God, prayer, and then a reflection on a couple of things that are going on right now and one of our key institutions in American government, the United States Senate. Let's turn to the first letter of Peter in chapter 2, starting with verse 13. We read about Christian citizens. And here's what Peter says. Be subject to every human institution for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the approval of those who do good. For it is the will of God that by doing good, you may silence the ignorance of foolish people. Be free, yet without using freedom as a pretext for evil, but as slaves of God, give honor to all, love the community, fear God, honor the king. That's 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. Let's pray. Lord, your word instructs us to be good citizens, both of the kingdom of heaven and of our nation here on earth. To be good citizens, to be obedient to just laws, to honor the institutions that have been put in place to govern our lives politically, to protect our basic rights, to secure order and peace and harmony, and the fruitful interaction of your citizens with one another and their freedom, O God, to worship you. May we abide by these precepts, live by these instructions. May the laws that are crafted through our elected representatives indeed be just. May they protect our rights rather than destroy them. And Lord, bless those institutions that you have given to us, established in our United States Constitution. Preserve them according to the mind of the founders and according to your will, and give us the knowledge and the courage to speak up in defense of these institutions. We pray in the name of the only Lord, the only Savior, the King and Lord of every nation, Jesus Christ. Amen. Friends, before I talk to you about the Senate, and we have some important races, some electoral races for the Senate in 2022, and I want to give you in a little while those states, 34 of them to be exact, that have Senate races in 2022. I want to make sure that you see, first of all, if your state is one of them, and also see what states you know other people in that you can talk to them about the election. But before we get into all of that, I hope that you're signed up for donaldjtrump.com/news, because what the president is doing at this point, instead of tweeting and those other kinds of social media, he sends out releases, short, to the point, whether he's endorsing somebody or commenting on the ineptitude of the Biden administration or any other matter of national interest. He's giving us some good things to think about, talk about, and share with others. DonaldJTrump.com/news. You can go there and see the releases directly each day, or you can sign up for the alerts and get them in your email. Here's one from just the other day, September 17th. He writes, "How disgraceful that so many people have been killed because of our incompetent generals. The Biden administration wanted to show that they were tough guys after they surrendered to the Taliban, which left many soldiers injured or dead and left Americans and the best military equipment in the world behind. Our country has never been so embarrassed or humiliated." So you see, it's a short message. DonaldJTrump.com. Sign up for these updates. Our president, 45th president, is speaking with the kind of insight and also with the kind of fighting spirit that we are used to witnessing in him throughout his campaigns and his presidency. A couple of other things that are going on, and this is from our friend Gary Bauer at American Values, his update. He says, "Every day it seems that the headlines get crazier and crazier." Isn't that true? And he mentions three key points here. First, the Biden administration killed 10 innocent people in a drone strike. We're going to mention these things and then we're going to pray about them. And here I'm quoting from a number of different news sources. A drone strike last month killed as many as 10 civilians there in Afghanistan, including 7 children. The U.S. military confirmed this and apologized for what it called, quote, a tragic mistake. The Pentagon said that the August 29th strike targeted an Islamic State suicide bomber who posed an imminent threat to U.S.-led troops at the airport. Well, in a statement, Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin said the drone strike had killed a Mr. Ahmadi, who worked for a nonprofit group called Nutrition and Education International. And Austin said, quote, "We now know that there was no connection between Mr. Ahmadi and ISIS-K, that his activities on that day were completely harmless and not at all related to the imminent threat we believed we faced. We apologize and will endeavor to learn from this horrible mistake." We've got incompetent people running things in Washington, D.C. Vote them out. Vote them out. And let's not make this mistake again, entrusting power to the Democrat Party. Likewise, because of the incompetence of this party and its leaders to govern, France, for the first time in the history of the long alliance between France and the USA, dating back to 1778, for the first time, France has recalled its ambassador to the United States, and also with Australia, because of behavior unacceptable between allies and partners. And it's referring to Biden's decision to provide nuclear-powered submarines to Australia. Oh, yeah, but Biden's making history, that's for sure. He's making history with a whole lot of first-time blunders that are embarrassing and endangering America. Again, vote them out. Vote them out. Nancy Pelosi, third point that Gary Bauer makes, wants to partner with communist China on climate change. First of all, she's embedded, as Biden is, and unfortunately, as some of our religious leaders are, they're embedded in the mythology of climate change. Ridiculous. I mean, talk about follow the science. Not only are they incapable of doing this in regard to the reality of the baby in the womb, okay, and the humanity of that child who's destroyed by abortion, but they're incapable of doing it in regard to climate change too. They don't know what in the world they're talking about. And not only that, but it's not only inaccurate and based on stupidity, but it's an obsession. It's an obsession to the point that they're blinded to the importance of drawing a hard line with countries like China with their human rights abuses. Shame on them. And Pelosi even mentions their assaults on religious freedom, their genocide. She uses the word genocide. She's admitting that this country is committing genocide, suppression, suppression of democracy. Oh, but, she says, having said all of that, we have to work together on climate. Listen, the sooner the moment comes that Pelosi is out of power, the better off we all are. The Democrat Party out of power, the better off we all are. Well, let's get down to one of the most important priorities in front of us to get the Democrat Party out of power, and that is the 2022 elections. Midterm elections are upon us. Yes, it's a little over a year away that the actual voting starts, but the election process is already well underway, and it's got to get well underway inside our own minds and hearts. Let's get focused on these midterm elections. We have got to win back both the House and the Senate. Now, historically, the winds are expected to blow in our favor, but we're not going to rely on wind here. We're going to rely on really strong effort covered in prayer and motivated by our faith, and we're going to get the job done. Taking back the House there's not that much of a margin. It's the smallest margin in many decades that we have the Democrats in the majority in the House of Representatives. The House can be taken back traditionally in the first midterm election of a president whose party just took over the White House. Traditionally, that party loses significant numbers of seats in the House of Representatives. So it doesn't take that many to flip it back to Republican control, so we can be cautiously optimistic that that will happen. We got to work hard to make it happen. But I want to focus on the Senate. The Senate will be a little more difficult, but remember, the Senate is 50-50, and you got 50 Republicans, you got 48 Democrats, and two independents who caucus with the Democrats. It can be done. It can be done. We've got to work on it. We've got to focus on it. And that's what I want to talk to you a little bit about here. And now I want to give some overview about the Senate itself, and then I want to list for you the states that are going to have U.S. Senate elections in 2022. So the Constitution, I have my little pocket version of the Constitution here. I hope you have a pocket version as well. Constitution, we recently had Constitution Day, by the way, where I recommended that you reread the document, and it really is it's a powerful document. So one of our foundational documents, along with the Declaration of Independence, of course. And in Article 1 of the Constitution, you know, we have the three branches of government. So the Constitution establishes them. Article 1, Article 2, Article 3. There are seven articles to the Constitution, 27 amendments. But it's the first three articles that establish the three branches of government and talk about how they function, how they are elected or appointed, etc. So the first of the articles establishes the Congress. The second talks about the presidency and the White House. The third talks about the courts. Okay, so there you have Articles 1, 2, 3, Congress, presidency, courts. When establishing the Congress, it says it'll be bicameral. Now, bicameral, this is the case with our federal legislature and with all the state legislatures except one. By the way, do you know which one of the state legislatures only has one house in its state legislature instead of two? I'm going to give you a moment to think about that. Mention in the comments what you think the answer is, especially if you're from that state. I think some of you are from that state. That is a unicameral legislature. We'll get back to that in a second. But is the Constitution establishes the U.S. federal legislative branch, the Congress, as bicameral. So you've got the House of Representatives, as we were just talking about, that where each person is living under one representative, okay, of your district. So the district is going to be a certain smaller geographical part of your state, okay? maybe a county or a couple of counties. That's your congressional district. Everybody has a CD, and the CD that we each live in is represented in the House by one person. So you each have one representative. Okay. How many representatives there are in a given state depends on the size of the population. So California has a whole lot more representatives in the House than does Rhode Island or Vermont. So you've got a difference here, and depending again on the population of the state, the congressional district. Furthermore, the representative is looking mostly at his or her district and the interests of his or her district. We each live, however, under two United States senators, because then you go into this Senate and you've got, well, let's go back to the House for a minute. As it stands now, again, based on the population of the states and the way these congressional districts are drawn, you've got 435 members of the House of Representatives. In the Senate, you've got 100 people, 100 senators. Why? Because we have 50 states. Each state, no matter how big, no matter how small, has two senators. All right, we're going over some basics here. It never hurts to rehearse the basics, and we got to pass this along, of course, to our children and grandchildren. Each state has two senators. So each of us is represented there by two people in the United States Senate, 100 altogether. Let's talk for a minute about why that's the case, by the way. Why is it the case? And this was the result of what was called the Great Compromise, as the Constitution was being hammered out. The Great Compromise. Some of our founders were thinking, well, you know, the House is based on population. Some states and therefore have more representatives than others. So should the Senate be. Let's let it be based on the size of the state. Others felt, no, each state should be equally represented in both the House and the Senate. Let each state have an equal number of representatives. And there were arguments for and against both of those divergent views. So the Great Compromise was, let the House of Representatives be based on the population of the state. Let the Senate be equal representation of every state. That was the Great Compromise. That literally made it possible to go forward with the Constitution and with the country itself. The wisdom, right? The wisdom and the patience of our founders to hammer all this out and consider all the different possibilities. You got to appreciate why the Senate has equal representation of each state. Because, brothers and sisters, California, need we even say, New York, where I grew up, is very different from Iowa, Nebraska, South Dakota. The concerns and interests of people in the cities, and some of our large cities have more of a population than many of our states do, it's very, very lopsided. The concerns of people in the cities are very different from the concerns of farmers and people out in the open country. The concerns of people who are in the South are different from the concerns of people in the North. There are different concerns and political priorities based on geography. So why, if we are the United States of America, and if the Senate now, together with the House, are involved in passing laws that affect the entire country, why should we allow a system that would give automatically more weight and more power and more influence to the more populous cities and states than to the less populous? Because then, The minorities would always be at a disadvantage, always. And that is not what our founders wanted to happen. The existence of two senators for each state makes sure that the states, and especially those that are smaller in population and in size, have their interests represented and defended as well. Because it's possible with a structure like this for bigger population centers to be outvoted by smaller ones, because we're all part of the United States. And this protects the rights of the minority. This is a similar philosophy behind which we have the Electoral College, where each state, now there, each state does have a different number of electoral votes based on their size. But nevertheless, the way that it's structured and the fact that that they all have electoral votes which need to be counted makes it such that the interests of all are represented, and that those who are elected president, those who campaign for the presidency, have to listen just as carefully to the concerns of Iowa, Nebraska, South Dakota, Alabama, as they do of New York and California. So, in the founding of the U.S. Senate, of course, the question arose, why do we even need a Senate? By the way, so it's bicameral, the House and the Senate. I asked you before, in the state level, you also have the House and the Senate and the state legislatures. Which is the state that only has one unicameral legislature? You know what it is, right? It's Nebraska. So some of you from Nebraska, well, you know that full well. Why the Senate? Why not just have federal laws passed by an elected House of Representatives? As I said before, the representative of a congressional district is rightly concerned about the priorities of the people in that district. Relatively small segment of the United States of America. That's why there's 435 representatives. In the House, you can have many different things raised, many different issues passed by vote of people who are very, very close, obviously, to the local scene. And the founders said, okay, well, you know, you can have a lot of passions generated by popular opinion, popular vote, things that are of concern to many people. We have to have a mechanism where we also are able to give it a second thought. We all know human nature. You know, you can be really gung-ho in favor of something today, or, you know, be on a particular track for a number of days or weeks or months. And then sometimes then, you know, time goes by and you think a little bit more and you have some other experiences and you say, well, all right, I would modify my thinking a little bit. Maybe I was a little bit too focused on one or another point. And then I thought about it again and I changed my mind a little bit. The Senate is meant to be, one of the founders, James Madison, explained that the Senate is like an anchor, and the anchor is often used as a symbol of the Senate. A necessary fence against the influences or the attitudes of the general public that might be expressed in the House of Representatives. Not that we're not saying that what the House of Representatives says is automatically wrong or bad, or it's not automatically, you know, something off the top of our head. It's just that to have the chance for a second thought is smart, because if what was in the House was a good idea, you should be able to persuade the senators that it's a good idea too. Now, remember, the senators are representing the entire state. And even within a single state, just as I was saying, different parts of the country have different priorities and preferences. Different parts of a state do as well. So a senator necessarily has to be even more capable of taking into account people that he or she represents who may have different ideas about something, and bringing about the best solution for that state. It's been called, the Senate has, the greatest deliberative body in the world. And there's a famous story, I want to read it here in full, about Thomas Jefferson and George Washington having a conversation at breakfast. Now, as it happened, Thomas Jefferson had been out of the country during the Constitutional Convention. So he gets back and he meets with George Washington to talk about what happened as the Constitution was hammered out. Now, let me read here the story. There existed a variety of opinions as to a legislature of one or two houses, House and Senate, right? It is said that when Jefferson returned from France, he was breakfasting with Washington and asked him why he had agreed to have a Senate. "Why," said Washington, "did you just now pour that coffee into your saucer before drinking it?" "To cool it," said Jefferson. "My throat is not made of brass." "Even so," said Washington, "we pour our legislation into the senatorial saucer to cool it." So, interesting, right? Again, as I mentioned, a little bit more deliberation, a second thought, a careful examination by the world's greatest deliberative body. Senator Robert Byrd said this about the Senate. "It has been the sure refuge and protector of the rights of the states and of a political minority," as I was explaining before, because of the equal representation. Two senators from every state, you have a built-in mechanism for protecting the rights of the states and the rights of those who are in the minority. Now, considering all of that, you obviously, you know, let's remind ourselves, for the passage of legislation, you want to make a federal law, you've got to have the House agree to it and you've got to have the Senate agree to it. And it's got to be the very same bill that they ultimately agree on, the very same wording. The House can vote on something, the Senate can vote on something. It can be two somewhat different versions, somewhat different. There can be differences in wording. And then a committee has to come together with representatives from the House and from the Senate and hammer out the final wording of the bill. Because you don't send two bills to the desk of the president. "Hey, it's the president, the House passed this, the Senate passed this. You know, which one do you want to sign?" Doesn't work that way. The House and the Senate have to get behind, have to make a united front behind a bill that then one bill, one set of wording, goes to the desk of the president, either for him to sign it or veto it. Hence the importance of elections for the Senate. It's harder to get something through the Senate than it is through the House. And the founders made that purposely the case. In 2022, we will elect one-third of the Senate. Here's how it works. By the way, okay, so let me go. I mentioned before Article 1 of the Constitution, Section 3 deals with the Senate. Let me read what it says here and then tell you what changed. "The Senate of the United States," the Constitution says, "shall be composed of two senators from each state, chosen by the legislature thereof," we'll come back to that, "for 6 years, and each senator shall have one vote." So a senator serves a six-year term. The Constitution originally provided that the state legislature would vote for the senators from that state. And that was the case from 1789 all the way to 1913. The state legislatures would elect the senators. But then came an amendment to the Constitution, the 17th Amendment. And let's go to that. It changed the way that the senators are elected. In Amendment 17 to the Constitution, it says, "The Senate of the United States shall be composed of two senators from each state, elected by the people thereof for 6 years, and each senator shall have one vote." You notice the difference? The difference between the 17th Amendment and Article 1, Section 3 of the Constitution is that instead of the legislature electing the senators, you do. The people elect them directly. And that has been in place ever since 1913. That's been in place now for over 100 years. It's a privilege to be able to elect our senators, of course. We've got to do so carefully. We've got to do so carefully as we elect also our House members to think about what kind of people do we want there passing our laws. And because each senator serves a six-year term, the elections that take place every 2 years, so you've got presidential election years like we had in 2020, and then you have midterm election years like we have in 2022. And both of those times, both every 2 years, you've got, first of all, the entire House of Representatives is elected, whether they're reelected or someone new comes in, because they only serve a 2-year term in the House. But since the senators serve a 6-year term, instead of every year the entire Senate being on the ballot, 1/3 of the Senate is on the ballot every 2 years. So that in the span of, it takes 3 midterm cycles, it takes 6 years in order for the entire Senate to be reelected. So you've got every 2 years, 1/3 of the Senate. So Senate's 100 people. So 33 or 34 states will have Senate elections each federal election year, okay? Each even numbered year, in other words. That's the case now. And here are the states that will have elections in Senate, U.S. Senate elections for one of their U.S. Senators in 2022. I want you to think about whether you are in these states, and I want you to think also about whether you know people who are in these states. Alabama, Alaska, Arizona, Arkansas, California, Colorado, Connecticut, Florida, Georgia, Hawaii, Idaho, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, Maryland, Missouri, Nevada, New Hampshire, New York, North Carolina, North Dakota, Ohio, Oklahoma, Oregon, Pennsylvania, South Carolina, South Dakota, Utah, Vermont, the state of Washington, and Wisconsin. Those are the 34 states, my friends, that have elections for U.S. Senate in 2022. Now, the candidates may or may not be known right now, but it's time to be paying attention to these elections. And you can find this list and you can find a lot of other information about how to start gearing up for the elections of the U.S. senators at prolifevote.com. Now, that's a website I'll be referring you to very constantly from now on, prolifevote.com. Go there, check it out, and start the engines. If you know people in those states, or if you live there yourself, begin talking about U.S. Senate elections. Research whether which of your existing senators is term is finishing. Which one? Is he or she running again, or are they retiring? Do you know who the candidate's going to be in that race? And have you found out information about the candidates and where they stand on the issues? These are extremely important elections. We've got to win back the Senate for Republican and pro-life members. Let it start now. Let the debating start now. Let the education start now. Let the voter registration start now. Let it all start now, because we've got to make victory in this election. Let's pray. Father, we have talked tonight about the U.S. Senate. Lord, we thank you for the wisdom of our founders in creating the saucer that cools the coffee or tea. We thank you, Lord, for the deliberative body that the Senate is. And we ask you, Lord, that these men and women, these 100 men and women, these 100 Americans that serve in the Senate truly would be deliberative, that they would keep in mind, oh God, the first and foremost, your law and the Constitution that they are sworn to uphold, that they may not let, oh God, divisive, destructive, fallacious, philosophies guide their deliberations, but rather the truth, the demands of the Constitution, the natural law, the God-given rights that people have, starting with life itself. Give our senators deliberation. Lord, bless these 34 states that have Senate elections this year. Bless the people currently serving in those positions. Bless those that are going to be running, and bless the voters. Give us wisdom, strength, courage to speak, ability to organize, perseverance to push hard to have the right people elected. Bring about a change in the Senate, Lord. Set us free from Democrat control. Bring about, Lord God, a new Senate. We ask you, Lord, to also bless America as we endure the various things that are happening now and the incompetence of the Biden administration, the horrific governance of the Democrats. Set America free from this and open up the mouths of your people, including the clergy, to point out evil where it exists and to denounce a party that is committed to evil principles. Bring us, Lord God, to the vision of our founders, having a country that truly takes into account the good of its people and protects their rights. For this and for all our intentions and for all the prayer intentions that have been left in the comments during this program, let us now together pray in the words Jesus gave us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen. Well, thanks for sticking with us, friends. Father Frank Pavone here of Priests for Life. Follow me on social media, FR Frank Pavone. Follow Right Side Broadcasting at RSB Network. And let people know about this program so that we can learn about and pray about America from biblical principles. We will talk to you again tomorrow.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.